The Great Canadian Talk Show.
It was only a couple of watts, but I brought the truth to everyone within three blocks of the west side of campus.
No way! Yes way!
And now, let's get right down to business with Marty Gold.
Welcome to the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. This is episode 12 of season 4, our 12th episode of 2024. I am Marty Gold. This is Winnipeg's only public affairs podcast. I want to welcome you new listeners who are joining us for the first time. And of course, we've got a steady and loyal audience of people from across the political spectrum. We provide an alternative point of view that is not heard through Winnipeg's corporate legacy media newsrooms. We provide a voice for Manitobans, for Winnipeggers, for those who are victims of crime, for those who operate small businesses, for those who are concerned about the direction our city, our province, our country is taking, and we try to provide some common sense solutions at all times to the serious issues that confront our community and our country. Recently, we've had a number of very successful, well-heard podcasts. I encourage those of you who have not yet to check out actionline.ca. Go to our podcast page, and in particular, the podcast of January 29th, Revolving Door Justice, Ambulance Failure, Blamed in Voyakis Murder. That has climbed into our top 10. 100 Days of WOB, our review, our overview of the first 100 days of the NDP government under WOB Canoe, also doing strongly in our rankings. As well as our two podcasts earlier in January, about the strange ongoing mutterings and utterings of the head of the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority, Dr. Joss Reimer. I encourage you all to take a look at those podcasts and see just what people are talking about and what we are talking about when it comes to Winnipeg's leading politicians and public figures. This episode is going to be dedicated exclusively to our old-time specialty, City Hall. And another of our specialties when it came to City Hall was interviewing city councillors. Towards the end of 2023, we were able to talk with Transcona councillor Russ Wyatt, as well as with St. Patel councillor Brian Mays. And on this program, coming up after this break, a conversation with someone who is no stranger to this program, been interviewed before both on the podcast, as well as on our previous incarnation, the City Circus on Shaw TV, Public Affairs Television program, Councillor Ross Edie of Minarski Ward. I'll tell you that perhaps not typically, I sent him a list of six issues, areas that we're going to be talking with him about, involving civic affairs, public affairs as well. And so we're going to go through that interview. I'll drop a break into the middle, so it'll be cut into two parts. And we'll see just what Councillor Edie has to say about some important issues of the day. No surprises here in terms of what he's going to be asked about. Now, the follow-up questions, that might be a bit of a surprise. We'll see how Ross Edie handles it. Back with more of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast right after this.
The Great Canadian Talk Show is brought to you by The Hive Hair Company. From classic to funky, the styles of your life are at The Hive, in the heart of the Osborne Village at 175 Osborne. Call 452-4483 or online, thehivehaircompany.com.
For your home renovation and repair needs, call PKP. For over 20 years, we've built trusted relationships in the North End, West Kildonan, Garden City, and the Maples. Buying a refurbished home? We'll do your pre-purchase inspection and make sure you get what you're paying for. Go to our Facebook page, PKP Renovations and Repairs, or call us, 204-297-5446. That's 204-297-5446. PKP Renovations and Repairs.
Trying to be Winnipeg's only alternative media source is hard work.
Now, while the Joss Reimers of the city parrot this nonsense on your godforsaken AM radio choices in this town,
one man has the skill, experience, and passion to deal with pomposity, corruption, and daring to report on what others can't, won't, or have been told not to report on.
This isn't a surprise that our leaders put on a dog and pony show. They put on airs. They play their roles. They have a big head, high opinions of themselves, trying to continue to go along to get along.
The Great Canadian Talk Show with Marty Gold.
Joining us once again on the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast, a gentleman who's been a frequent guest both on the podcast version as well as on City Circus, Councillor Ross Eady, representing Minarski, in part my old stomping grounds in the good old North End. Ross, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thanks, Marty.
I indicated to the audience in my preamble before the first break that I had already supplied you with the topics that I wanted to cover with you. That way, fewer surprises, although I'm sure still some surprises in the answers you'll give and the questions I might have for a follow-up. I want to start with the city budget and this bond issuance. I saw Mayor Gillingham on the CTV Morning News, and he said that this is the first time in 3 years that the city has gone to the bond market. I think this one is for $200 million. Offhand, Ross, do you know how long the bonds are for and what the interest rate is?
Well, I don't know how many debentures in total there were, but this is a long-term debt, so they're either 25 or 30 years debt, given the interest rate as well that it reported. Then, you know, this is a long-term debenture.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering if you know what the interest rate being offered is, because I haven't been able to find that.
It was announced. It's actually pretty high. The time for us to have been taken on debt passed when debt was very low, like around, you know, like 2 and 3%. I believe this one was approximately 5.5%.
Okay, so, and Mayor Gillingham told CTV Rochelle, like I say, that it's the first time in 3 years the city's gone to the bond market. And who was the finance chair the last time that happened? Was that Scott Gillingham?
Last time we issued debentures would have been Scott Gillingham. Yep.
Okay, and how many times
issued any debentures when Marty Morantz was the finance?
Okay, and how many times when
Scott was only there for 1 year, right? So.
How many times when Scott Gillingham was the finance chair did the city go to the bond market? Was it just 3 years ago, or were there other times when he was finance chair that was done?
Oh, there would have been other times. We've had to take on debt for, we should be take long term debt. It should be for long term assets, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, one of the so. Like, I don't see issuing long-term debt as a problem. Like, we have to fund by debt the North End sewage plant, for example, right? Like, especially if we don't get money from the other levels to cover off the inflation on these projects, right? So, but these are long-term assets that are expected to last at least 50 years, right? So, when it becomes a real problem and you want to analyze, are we issuing debt to say buy, we used to pay cash for buses, for example, right?
Uh-huh.
But we have no more cash because we didn't raise property taxes enough to keep covering, keep that same cash flow alive.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm not going to go into all the fiascos that have gone over where lots of cash got wasted, right? But ultimately, though, if you don't have cash, you can't use cash to buy it, right? So a lot of our local road renewal program, though, most of that is being paid by cash, right? We're not borrowing money to renew roads. We've done it a couple times because, you know, don't raise property taxes, right? That's how we pay for the roads. So anyway, I didn't see any problem with the debenture. A lot of people say, well, we shouldn't take on debt. Well, then, you know what? Well, maybe we shouldn't fix the North End plant. Maybe we shouldn't, don't replace the Arlington Bridge or don't replace the Louise Bridge.
Well, wait a second. You already aren't replacing the Arlington Bridge or the Louise Bridge. And the Louise Bridge, we were on that topic on Kick FM before you were even elected to council.
That's correct.
Right? And the same thing with Arlington.
Well, Arlington Bridge has been a problem. Anyway, I'm just saying, I'm just using some examples, right? Like, if I can convince and others can convince people to replace the Arlington Bridge, we're going to have to take on debt, right? So, or, you know, in some cases like that phase two rapid transit, the province wanted us to take on their debt as well to fund that project, but we convinced them, no, like, we can't take on any more debt. We have a debt policy, right? That's going to change in this upcoming budget because we have a real problem.
So the city's cash. The city is cash strapped. And between Wabkinu announcing that he'll let school boards raise property taxes, or the school taxes rather on properties, and Gillingham running on a campaign of raising property taxes, are you concerned that at some point the residents of your ward, which is a much lower income ward than I think probably yours and Elmwood with Councillor Schreier, probably the two, if I can use the term poor,
Schreier,
least rich.
Gilroy, Schreier, Santos, myself, yes, that's correct.
I don't know that you can speak collectively, but are the inner city councilors, should the inner city councilors be worried that you're going to end up with a serious problem where the long-term homeowners and property owners won't be able to maintain the ownership, and the neighborhoods could then spiral into a donut syndrome deterioration?
There, you know what? The same problem exists in every major city in this country, right? There are poor neighborhoods and so on, right? Over the years, as you have heard, Marty, I've tried to introduce ideas that would lessen the load on those who can't afford to pay as much, right? And those, you know, there are a lot of people doing really good, Marty, in this city. Believe me, they're making millions of dollars, okay? There's lots of people making lots of money in this city, okay? So how do you distribute it appropriately? Everybody should have to pay in something for the services that we all want to enjoy, right? But ultimately, how do we do this in a way that, yeah, that we make it so that people can't live in a decent house or whatever, right? So, I mean, that's the reality. So, like, we do have to raise property taxes. Like, you know, we could save a lot of money. Let's just shut down every library. We don't need libraries. We'll just shut them down. That'll save a lot of money, right?
Well, I don't know that anybody's advocating for shutting down a lot of libraries. There are people that are advocating for other ways that City Hall can tighten its belt. And I don't disagree that the city is facing a challenge. You mentioned transit, and I'm going to get back to that, but I want to just pivot slightly because you mentioned, you know, people having a place to live. You and I have not talked about this previously. Justin Trudeau's housing money, and what will the effect of that be on Minarski? This idea of fourplexes, four story buildings, being allowed as a right. Without the ability of the community to advocate on its own behalf. In the bigger picture, how is this going to affect Minarski Ward?
Wow, it's going to change everything. They say 800 meters, right?
Yeah.
Of a frequent bus route.
Which means that'll include Scotia.
25. Hang on, listen, yeah, well, hold on. So I'm going to tell you in my ward, what that means is you can build a fourplex anywhere from the Red River to Main Street, anywhere from Main Street to Salter, anywhere from Salter to McGregor. McGregor will have a frequent route, not Salter, although it's going to have a better bus service. It'll be a frequent on McGregor, 800 meters to Arlington. So you can do it from Arlington to McPhillips, though it's not that far. But if you go, that'll have a frequent route. So you'll get to about Sinclair. So, and all the way north, right, to Leela, for example, right? So, depending on where the frequent routes are, right? So, or how far north they go. So, yeah, it's going to change the whole look and feel of the neighborhoods. But, Marty, it'll be over time, right? Like it's not just going to happen now, right? What's going to happen is that, and, you know, you have Luxton neighborhood and Seven Oaks and St. John's Park neighborhoods. They're, you know, it's a certain kind of place where people want to live, right? They're not moving there because it's full of four stories and all that kind of stuff.
Correct.
So, like, I don't know if that's going to push people out, but it's going to take time for this to happen. It's not going to happen miraculously because people got to buy properties. What will probably happen, Marty, I was able to convince all the council to vote that when the rezoning happens, the hearings, all of council, all 16 of us are going to sit there and listen to the residents of what they believe about all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and issues will be raised there, whether or not we can move amendments to change things slightly. But what I do know is that our public service is supposed to come back with, like, a certain size property and stuff like that. But it'll still change the character of the neighborhood, right? Like,
You're aware that the city council in Windsor told Trudeau that they thanks but no thanks, and they are not accepting his conditions?
Well, we accepted their condition according to... We didn't say the bylaw was going to be changed perfectly to what we agreed to, right? You know what I'm saying?
So you're trying to leave a little bit of wiggle room there.
We agreed that we were moving a process forward to allow that kind of building, right?
As a regular listener, and I appreciate it, of this podcast, you're aware that Councillor Mays had determined that somehow when the city started drawing up some maps for you councillors to consider about this federal concept, that somehow that the transit map, that somehow the Parker lands weren't included because there aren't existing roads, and so some of the planning seems to have not been done in consideration of things that are already on the books. How's that going to be addressed? How's that going to get straightened out, Ross?
Well, I was asking about, we also have High Point, we have, Aurora's almost finished, we have all these new greenfield developments too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what effect will all this have? Because it's not just the four stories with the meters, but then it was, as a right, you get to build four units. Whether it's four stories or not, as a right, you get to build four units. So, on any property, right? So what effect does that have? What I do know is, like, the thing about Parker land, right, is that, I can disagree with the owner, but his concept of transit-oriented development, which is what he's trying to do there, I believe,
mm-hmm.
right, and it's right along the rapid transit corridor, like, I got no problem with that, right?
But again, when the city prepared these preliminary maps to evaluate the federal proposal, Parker Lands wasn't included because the roads haven't been built yet. I just found that bizarre.
It doesn't get any more frequent than the bus rapid transit corridor, does it?
Well, one other thing with regards to the housing and the four stories, are you concerned that the ability of city sewers, for instance, we've seen all sorts of problems up and down Demuron with this kind of infill. There's only certain neighborhoods that are targeted by this infill thus far. That would be the wards represented by pretty much Councillor Mays, Councillor Orlico, Councillor Dobson. Are you concerned that in the north end?
There's areas in my ward that could be a target. You got to remember, they're not going to William White, where we do need a lot of renewal.
How does that make any sense?
Why aren't they going to William White? This whole HAF program, like the Housing Accelerator Fund, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really, there's nothing in there to really redevelop a neighborhood like Dufferin even, right? Which is just south of William White.
Yeah.
So, but that's not where the developers want to go. They're going where they're going to make the most amount of money. Where's that? The neighborhood? Could be the Jefferson neighborhood, which you grew up almost close to,
right?
Right by the boundary,
yep.
Marty. So like even where you lived in the North End, that's a really nice piece of the North End, right? It still isn't experiencing what they are further south in the North End, right? So neighborhoods like, and John's, and that's right, and he's right, that's where the developers are going to be more aggressive to go ahead with doing things. They will also be quite aggressive east of Maine.
Oh, for sure.
There's lots of money to be made there, right?
Are you concerned, Ross, that for the city ended up getting a lot less than they asked for, $122 million? Is the city sort of selling its, shortchanging itself, the city mothers and fathers, by agreeing to this for what is not anywhere close to what Gillingham was telling the public that the city would be seeking?
Marty, I voted for it. One of my prerequisites I did get, which was all of council will have to live through this, including the mayor. You'll have to sit through these meetings. One of the things he said he likes as a new mayor is that he doesn't have to do appeals.
Yeah.
Well, this one you're going to have to do. So, but Marty, I'm not, this is a long-term thing, right? Like, maybe in Glenwood, all the houses that were going to be sold have been sold now, and it won't be other houses sold for some time. I don't know, right? Depends when people want to sell their houses and move. I don't know, right? Because that's really what happens. Like they just didn't split lots and build, you know, 4 units and stuff all over Glenwood. You know, somebody sold them the properties. Somebody sold them the houses, right? So it's more of a what effect will it have over the longer term. But we don't know the details. But we can control some of the details. And maybe we can introduce certain things that we zone to make it better. Not like Councilor Rodo goes right, like this will be the first area, right? Well, first area has been Glenwood, right? But you know, they're right. And that's why I wanted a whole hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And even John voted for my amendments because he said, well, you want to live, if I got to live through this, you're going to live through this, right? So.
Well, he made a good point. Ross, I'm backed up on top of a break. You can stay with us for a few more questions.
Okay, yep.
All right, we'll be back with more with Councillor Ross Eadie right after these words.
Because of you, the Great Canadian Talk Show has made headlines for over 15 years and forced important issues to be acknowledged and dealt with.
The problem here is that they want everything their own way in every situation. It's unpalatable to the general public, but they're frozen out by the process.
There are no subsidies for paying the bills for keeping the government honest.
They just see money. Of course, it's your tax dollars, but it's being spent on their pet projects.
We're on your side.
A lot of these people in special interest groups, they don't bear any relationship to your life out there. They don't have any handle on what your reality is in your neighborhood.
Support old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters.
The best source of information is not the city councilor. It is this program and you listeners.
Support TGCTS today.
Back to continue our interview with City Councilor Ross Eadie. You earlier had mentioned transit. And first of all, the route changes. You know, I've asked my councilor, happens to be Matt Allard, I emailed him weeks ago about what prospective changes there would be with the new master transit plan to the 10 route that goes to and from the St. Boniface Hospital, services patients, visitors of patients, and the hospital workers. I've gotten no response. How are Winnipeggers supposed to find out which local routes that go through their neighborhoods are and aren't being preserved or altered? Because right now we're being told that everything's going to change in one day in June of 2025, which I think is ludicrous. I've said on this program, you imagine changing all the bus routes when the kids are still going to school. But people want information now. Councillor Luke said that it was up to the councillors to hold seminars and to get out into the community because transit itself is holding a limited number of public hearings. I want to get some feedback from you. How are we supposed to find out how this is going to affect our neighborhoods? And what do you say to people that move to certain neighborhoods, that invest in certain neighborhoods because there was bus service coming through the neighborhoods so they could get to and from work or social events or recreation activities, and now they won't have that?
Transit system, which has some freer routes, but then it has what you call direct routes, which have at rush hours have better bus service, like Salter will have it a direct. So the number 10 route, as you stated, is probably St. Boniface's most important bus route.
You just said that, and a few. Wait a second, Ross. You just said that, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But a few years ago,
I used it.
A few years ago, Matt Allard stood by and had no problem with the service being cut on the 10 route, the Sunday service.
The Sunday service. Yeah.
A few years ago, the service of the hours were cut, but you've just agreed that it's an important route. I just find it disturbing that the councilors. You know, some councillors brag about taking a bus, but they only take certain buses that go certain places. If you catch my drift.
Bus on Sunday. I don't know. Oh, well. You know, okay. I'm not producing natural art. I just want to say, so we just found out, so we had this master plan, and I thought I knew what all the routes were going to be, and I made some suggested ideas and so on and so forth. So then we just had it presented this week, or last week, actually. All the counselors were just invited, and things have been changed.
What? Now,
some of it based on our advice, like feeder routes, for connect. They call them connector routes, okay?
Right.
So there's no, well, there's no so-called cathedral bus anymore. There's an Inkster bus, right?
What? Hold on. I grew up on Lansdowne. Who's the genius that thinks that there should be buses going up and down Inkster?
Well, I tried to explain to him why it's not a trucking route from Main Street to Sinclair anyway. I think, well, it's not a trucking route all the way to Winfield. It is a regional road. I tried to explain. Anyway, this is, people are going to get a chance to vent, because what the transit is doing is they're sending out postcards to people where these routes changes are happening for them to give input, okay? So, but I kind of explained, you know, like, Inkster had the foundation problems all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and certain areas in River Heights as well, right? So, depending on where some creeks and marshes used to exist.
Yep. What other,
Let me just explain. So, where the routes are changing, they're going to be called something different, but where they are changing, Winnipeg Transit is working with communicators. They are going to be sending out these postcards to everybody's address where route changes are happening. But so the only piece of cathedral that the Inkster bus is going to run on is East of Main, okay?
Yeah.
That's their proposal, which is okay. I'm good with that, you know, whatever. But then they have a Jefferson bus. So you really got Mountain, Inkster, Jefferson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Selkirk Avenue, and Selkirk will still continue to have pretty good bus service, because there's a lot more people that take the bus in that area, right? So the Jefferson, they were proposing that it go all the way south, come down Cathedral, and come around. I'm going, well, like, what? The problem is transit. The plan is they don't know the history of these neighborhoods, right?
That's for sure.
And like, Jefferson is a totally different school division. It's West Kelowna is different than the North End. People, I know, like, the Plowmans who moved from the North End, they bought a house in West Kelowna. They keep calling, even Joe Zukin kept calling West Kelowna the North End, right?
Mm-hmm.
But really, if you grew up there, as you know and I know, right, everybody said, well, West Kelowna is kind of different than the North End. Really was, right?
So, yep.
So, and different school division, different whatever. Anyway, I gave them a better plan. Hopefully they go with it. You know, but anyway, so with the routes in St. Boniface, I think Matthew probably just had an opportunity late last week, Thursday, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday and Friday they presented. So I don't know, you know, it might be worth trying to...
I'll send him an email.
I just want to let you know, like,
yeah.
I don't want to get into the cycling thing, because
it's amazing, Ross, because I wasn't going to bring up bike lanes with you, and I just want to, we're just going to digress from the transit for 1 second. I'll go back to it.
Okay.
But a while ago, when you said you wanted to do an interview with our program, and we tried to do it last in 2023, didn't quite work out towards the end of the year, but you said that you had your own concerns based on our reporting about what's going on with these bike lanes here in St. Boniface, on Sargent Avenue, on Provence, in Transcona, where the Biz fought and won and ensured that there would be no elimination of any parking in Transcona, because that Biz knows what it's doing. You said that you had your own concerns about the nature of the so-called public consultations that are being used to ram these changes through in these neighborhoods.
Well, it's probably the same for any kind of public consultation. The people who are most interested are the ones who always engage. Like, for example, on Scotia, when all this stuff is going through, like, people close it down. And then you have some people who are paying attention saying, what do you think you do? What? But then there's all these people who live in the area. They're not even paying attention to arguments on social media, whatever it is, right? So the issue is then, well, I guess it is my responsibility. I should be going into these neighborhoods if I had, you know, better resort, although I'm switching up how I do things right now, but in that I have a neighborhood liaison person now, so like with this new bus route thing, we're going to go out and do our own consultation as to why there should be a bus route down Scotia, right? And the cyclists will probably be opposed to it, as they remember they got rid of the bus on Wolseley so they could have it for cycling and pedestrians. And I'm going like, yeah, but what about us, you know, bus users, especially ones who have no choice, like myself, right?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like, yep.
Take a bus, and I always liked that bus that took you down, you know, eventually, Wolseley or whatever.
Yeah, the that's, again, that's the number 10
that's
route.
That's the number 10, yeah, I know.
We're back to that.
I used it so much in my life, Marty. Like, okay, so that'll probably, like, that route, I don't know what they'll be calling it, but they'll probably have a route that goes from St. Boniface and still connects out into Wolseley. Like, for example, the Salter bus, right? It's going to end up somewhere around Stafford and Taylor, I think it is. And
the Salter bus is going to go up to like the Sal's on Stafford?
Some, like, Stafford and Taylor.
Yeah, because there's a bus loop there, so I can see it, although if it's...
Yeah,
no, I'm not quite sure how they'd hit the loop coming southbound, but whatever.
The Salter bus, which is now going to be a direct bus, it's going to run from the Southall. They closed down the Southall loop, but now they're going to use it.
Unbelievable.
And that's where the Salter, it's a direct bus, so there'll be a lot more buses at rush hour. Right now, even at rush hour, it's pretty, not many buses. So it's going to run all the way down to there. And then the 17, which is a frequent bus, the McGregor bus,
yeah,
that's going to be a frequent bus, a very important bus, right? And that's going to end up going over the, I can't remember where that one goes. And then they're still going to have the Arlington bus. That one's going to end up down on Grant somewhere. Won't be using Academy Road, but it will be using Stafford to get the Grant, and then it'll go up Grant.
So it's very interesting that we're going to be seeing, more, from the sounds of it, more buses on Stafford. I know somebody with a corner property on Stafford. I'll be sure to listen to this program. I'll be sure to inform them of this.
They should be getting a postcard.
Don't get me started. I'm going to let you in on something, Ross. The household I'm talking about, like yourself, they are vision impaired.
Yeah.
So don't get me started on the notices that they should have gotten when Stafford was being repaired this summer, where they were getting no notices whatsoever about the project timelines, the nature of the work, when the lanes were pushed over into the curb lane, and all this traffic is rattling their foundation. Don't get me started on how poor communication is, especially for people who, like yourself, are vision impaired, and so somebody else has to tell them what's going on in the neighborhood and keep them up to date.
Mind, when they put in the cycling path on Princess, and I was doing some bank, I can't remember, banking or something, or I had to go to something at Red River Campus. Or anyway, I thought that the protected lane from William heading south, I thought that was a curb. So then I'm walking down the cycling thing, and I'm going, where's the building? I'm going like, what? It's like, anyway, you're right. That is a problem. Anyway, there is a problem in the consultation. What all media can do is keep harping and talking about these consultations are going on. Here's how.
But Ross, that it, Ross. I gotta go back to the audit. The Assiniboine bike lane audit that made clear that the failure of Assiniboine was that not every stakeholder was engaged, that the language used in the postcards and the material was obscure and obtuse, that if you send people material that says you're going to lose your parking, then they'll get engaged.
That's right.
And the city does not do it. These are rigged beyond belief. You've listened to the program. You heard my experience at the open house where we determined, and the city to this day has now, am I correct, Ross, that as a city councilor and your job as a councelor, you have still not been informed that 99 parking spots are scheduled to be taken away in St. Boniface from the business district near the hospital.
That the only place that has reported that is me.
No, I agree. They should have been. People should have been told that.
So why is
a wonderful bike lane, but you're going to lose 99 parking spaces?
Why wonderful bike lane? Nobody needs a bike lane on Traverse. Even the bike lobby didn't want it. Why are the administration and the consultants?
My dad used to live with my stepmom on Horace, right near Traverse.
So you get the idea.
I don't understand. Yeah, I get it.
Why is the administration and the consultants withholding valuable information to manufacture falsified consent and falsified agreement to these bike lane projects? Why aren't they even giving the councillors the straight goods? The Janice Lukes had to go and ask them, and then they left out Traverse, which was another 24 parking spots.
Marty, this is why I told you, I explained to you about when they came up with the pedestrian cycling master plan. I ended up voting against it. But I was assured, because I had a problem with some of the routes that they wanted to establish, given that I lived in this area for 60 years. Okay? 60 years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'll consult. They did some things, no consultation. They just moved ahead and they made it bicycle friendly. They just did it. Well, this is the route. This is the route. That's it. That's it.
Ross,
that's
maybe it. Maybe you can remind Mayor Gillingham that when he campaigned, he promised proper, fulsome, adequate consultation, and that all of council, of which there's still seven members by my count, almost a majority of council voted for the Assiniboine bike lane, where it was said this would never happen again. And certainly with regards to moving on Marion, we've seen that it's happened again. Which gives me a chance to ask you this.
We can talk about it forever, but on the transit thing, okay? So what they should be saying, like, there's a postcard, but I'm going to go out there, but, you know, there's never been a bus run on Scotia and West Coast, okay? It always goes to Matheson,
right,
which is still the north end. And then once you get...
And then would come down Matheson towards the Rushpina.
Yeah, that's... So the Inkster's going to do that, Cathedral. What I'm proposing to do is that, well, they suggested, I suggested Smithfield, that the Jefferson comes south on Main, go east on Smithfield to Scotia, go north on Scotia to Hartford, up Hartford where there's lights already, turn to go back to Jefferson there, there's a good bus stop at Hartford there, and then, you know, anyway, but now here's the thing. So in doing that consultation, I'm going to have to admit and say, right, that, and it could be Matheson. It could turn east on Matheson, which was an idea from Travis. So I thought, wow, well, you already got one. The Inkster, which would be the Cathedral, it's still going to use Matheson, right? So then you would have the Jefferson one go east on Matheson. The Inkster goes west on Matheson Main Street and goes back to Inkster. So, but you got to let those people know, like, be honest about it, right? So you're going to have a smaller 40-foot bus, right? But nevertheless, a bus coming down there, right? So it may cause some issues. But what I said to Transit is, I said, do you talk to Public Works about repairing those streets before you run vehicles up and down them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which needs to happen, right? I grew up at 41 and a half Inkster, and the Cathedral used to come down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, the road was in good, never a problem. Never a problem with the bus going down there, ever. And I mean, it's whole buses. My dad's house never shook. Nothing like that, right? Never a problem. But if it's hitting a pothole or whatever, like, that's a problem, right?
Well, yeah. Ross, we're running out of time in terms of what I had sort of booked off for this interview. But what I want to do is I want to conclude this interview. This will run in episode 12. But is it okay if I ask you a couple other questions? And then I'll put that into the episode after. A couple of other questions about public safety, safety around the City Hall building itself. And I want to be able to ask you that. So is that okay if you just hang on the line? We'll wrap this up. And then I'll ask you a few more questions. That's okay with you?
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Eady, for this interview and for these subjects, a vigorous discussion. And I know you've taken some of our points very well, and you take them to heart. I'll be back
to wrap up this episode and take a look at future episodes, which is going to include Counselor Edie speaking about public safety and City Hall safety. Amazing how you can fit that together, eh? Right after this break.
If you have a story tip, an interview idea, or information the public needs to know, let us know. The Great Canadian Talk Show. Email martygoldlive@gmail.com. TGCTS. Old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters.
This episode of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast is sponsored by Jamrock Security, protecting your family, your business, and your community. Call 204-880-1564 or go to jamrocksecurity.ca, your trusted security partner.
It's like beefs and bouquets. Well, not really.
I don't think this is a gold star award that Winnipeg should be proud of when you're featured in the Federal Conservatives' What Went Wrong in Canada scenarios, and Winnipeg's at the top of the class. So it's not something of a badge of honor, I think, for the current leadership at City Hall to wear.
You're listening to The Great Canadian Talk Show with Marty Gold.
Perhaps you or Peter Warren could tell us.
On actionline.ca.
Back to wrap up episode 12. What an interesting conversation with Councillor Edie. And you heard him concur that the city of Winnipeg still has a lot of problems with deceptive, and I maintain deliberately deceptive, practices in the public consultation process that favors certain stakeholders when it comes to things like bike lanes and active transportation, and disadvantages others, including stakeholder classes like residents, business owners, property owners, and users of those services. And very interesting that he's concurred with that. And we'll see what actions Ross Edie might take as a city councillor to hold Mayor Gillingham to his election promise that there would be proper consultation in this city for public projects. Also, his comments about the federal housing and how it won't rehabilitate, for instance, the area, the William White neighborhood, the Dufferin neighborhood. So this is by no means a real panacea coming from the Trudeau government towards the housing crisis that we're experiencing. I didn't ask Ross any questions about immigration or some of the other factors, but you got a good sense there for that he recognized. And I especially like the part where every city councilor, including mayor, is going to have to sit there and listen to you, the people. Listen to your concerns, listen to your objections, and find a way to respond to it, knowing that the votes could turn against them in the next election. It might seem a far way off now, but this is the kind of thing that plants the seeds for people to want to see change, whether it's at City Hall or the legislature or in any political body. So a very interesting conversation with Councillor Edie that we had today, and all the minutiae, ins and outs about the different bus routes. We'll see just how the Babas and Zetas of our community are going to feel being told that they have to get off a bus coming from a shopping center and transfer to another bus, then transfer maybe to a third bus to get to where they want to go. Ross Edie, representing his North End ward to the best of his abilities, will continue to advocate to the best of our abilities for all of you in all the wards of this city. City Hall is a specialty of ours. My first speech at City Hall was, I think we figured out my first speech was 1986, but I was certainly preparing remarks for other people, and I think I appeared once or twice going back as 83, 84. And so... You know, with that kind of experience, there's nobody covering City Hall in this city that has the kind of experience I have in that regard from the other side of the fence, so to speak. Sometimes the presentations were about equal employment opportunity programs, about hiring processes, about city police and firefighters. I made one presentation, was actually very appreciated a number of years ago, about 10 years ago, about potential changes to Winnipeg's voting system, pointing out how that changing to a Saturday would impact the rights, what I view as the right of somebody to wait until the last minute to go to the ballot box to fully evaluate their elected officials and then put the magic X where it belongs to decide who will become the next city councilor, the next mayor, in that case with that legislation. So
this is the kind of breadth of experience that I bring to this to these podcasts and actionline.ca. Your support integral to it. You can check out the donate page, of course. We're looking to acquire, how should I put this, more funding than we've asked for in the past. We want a little bit more security here as we continue to invest our time and our effort into covering City Hall and the legislature in particular, and covering certainly what's going on with crime in our city. We're not going to lay off of this, but it very much counts on you listeners helping bring more listeners to the fore by sharing these podcasts, by sharing our actionline.ca stories, and by convincing people the way I try to convince you, you convince others. This is worth it. This is worth your time. It's worth your investment. I stand up for you and for the community. And you cannot say that about the corporate legacy media newsrooms that leave out key details, that slant their reports, that do not have city councilors like Ross Eady in any kind of a discussion. You don't hear that on radio in this city anymore. And CBC's got a big budget, and they aren't going to put Ross Eady on or any other city councilor for an hour and go back and forth and talk about the issues and talk about personal experiences to illustrate those issues. We're here for you. We're going to continue to be here for you. We're going to have more coming up, including I conducted the rest of the conversation with Ross Eady about transit safety, about City Hall safety. That's going to be out in the next 4 or 5 days. I'm going to try to get out, and you will really, I think you'll walk away with a lot of interesting thoughts that you'll have, that you'll develop in your own minds from hearing the conversation I had with Councillor Eady about those subjects. And I'll give you a hint. The city has not succeeded. As he said, the city has not succeeded in getting enough progress towards a safer, more secure environment out in the community for you. And I'll tell you, he doesn't waver from that. Ross Eady doesn't weasel around that. He knows it's not safe out there. And he wants to do what he can to make it safer, better for you and your family, for your employees, for your customers. And he's in a position maybe to, at the very least, hector fellow counselors to take a stand similar to the one he intends to take when it comes to encouraging public safety and a culture of safety, not just at City Hall, but when you're waiting for the damn bus or trying to go to the shopping center or just walking in and out of a McDonald's for that matter. Your feedback always appreciated. MartyGoldLive@gmail.com. You can send contributions, donations the same way. We'll be back with more podcasting, more information, more news, more analysis. Unique product we have here. With your support, we're going to be carrying on with more all throughout the month of February, because we always remember and always remind our elected officials, you have the power.
Do you have a comment, story tip, or want to advertise or support the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast? Email tgcts1@gmail.com, join the Facebook group, or follow us on Twitter @tgcts. You have the power.
Thanks for listening to The Great Canadian Talk Show. If you want to email Marty, send it to tgcts1@gmail.com or follow him on Twitter @tgcts.